In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Tomorrow we start the fast that's known after the prophet Jonah. And today I would like to talk about one of the statements that was asked by God to Jonah while we are preparing ourselves to receive this fast, the season of repentance. When Jonah witnessed the mercy of God and he saw how God accepted the people of Nineveh, again is what we should expect after a success of a mission, that the prophet was upset and he felt like, in a way, this shouldn't happen. And God asked him twice, is it right for you to be angry? And before we start the fast, one of the things that we have to clear from our hearts, if we are holding any kind of anger towards God, the devil will always come and try to convince us that we are right to be upset and we have certain rights and God did not in a way treat us fairly. I cannot have a relationship with God if I live my life feeling angry or upset or disappointed at Him, thinking that God should have done something and He did not do it. So today we are going to discuss these two points. Number one, why do people get angry with God? And the second one, what should I do if I feel this way? If I have these emotions in my heart, even though I am convinced that it shouldn't be. So number one, why do people get angry with God? Why this is something common? The first reason is, or issues, is rights issues. Rights mean like I feel like I'm entitled for something. So looking at the scripture and seeing in the parable of the laborers of the 11th hour, those people, they agreed on a certain wage. They will work and then will receive a denarii at the end of the day. So we read this what happened when the first came. We know the parable, of course, that people came after them, after the people who came in the first hour, in the third and the sixth and ninth and 11th. And so the Lord, the landowner, gave the same wage to those people who worked only for 1 hour at the end. So when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner. So here we find those people are getting upset with the landowner, who is a symbol, of course, of God, because they thought that we should receive something different. This is exactly what happened when we start comparing ourselves with others. We receive a blessing and we look at it and we're happy with it until we start comparing ourselves with the people who receive something better. And then we think that, why I did not receive the same? Why God is not fair? Am I not His son or His daughter? So here again, the idea about that we have certain rights and God has to meet these kind of expectations is our own ideas. This is not true. We read, for example, in the parable of the talents, that when the master distributed the talents, he gave some five and some two, and I gave another person one talent. When he distributed the talents, he had only the consideration of the abilities. I will give you this talent because I know you can handle this. It's not right to give you something beyond your ability to handle, and then you will be guilty of shortcoming, that you do not deal with the talent in a certain way. Again, the idea of comparing ourselves with others make us to be always feeling like it's not fair, it's not right that God gave me this or gave me that. I buy a new car and I'm happy with it. I drive it for a couple of days feeling like I'm blessed until I come to the church on Sunday and see my friend got a better car. And at that time I feel upset. This car is not good enough. If we go like this, we will always be upset. We will always be angry at God. We will always feel like we are treated unfairly. The rights issue also is the same reason that made the older son in the parable of the prodigal son to be upset with his dad. Look here what he said to his father when he heard that his younger brother came back and the father received him and celebrated his return. He said, I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never give me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. This boy, his problem is not in comparison. His problem is that because he was doing something extra, then he felt, I'm entitled for special treatment. This boy represents those who are serving in the church, but looking at the reward. I am doing this, I am serving that, I am giving that much. Why God is not giving me what I think I deserve, what I think that I am entitled to receive? When we serve God, we serve God from a position of feeling indebted to Him, because we owe Him, not because He has to pay me back as a servant. The older son was upset with his dad. He thought that because I'm serving in your house, you should treat me in a certain way up to my expectations. He was definitely mistaken. He has no here right to be upset with his father. He did not even feel how much he was blessed to be in the house serving his kind father. A third example also is what we hear some John, the Lord Christ actually in the Gospel of St. John warning us that when we live as slaves, we cannot claim the rights of the sons. Meaning, I would maybe expect God to be like protecting me if I at least I'm asking for Him to be with me. If I am living as a son, maybe I can think that maybe I'm expecting certain rights from God. But living as a slave and expects the rights of the children, this is definitely something that's not reasonable. Look here when the Lord Christ said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Those people represent what happens in our country, here in our nation, when people abandon God and they forget all about Him. And when a disaster comes, everybody's upset at Him. I remember when 9/11 came and people started looking and saying, why God is doing this? Why God is not protecting us? Really, can we claim this right that we behaved and lived as children and we conducted ourselves as true sons to God, and then we are disappointed and surprised at something like this taking place? Again, here, before we start arguing with God about our rights as children, have to make sure at first that we are living as children. So the first reason is rights issues. The second reason is lack of love issues. You remember the story of Zacchaeus. The people who were there witnessing the Lord Christ asking Zacchaeus to come over to his house and visit, we hear that those people start to murmur and complain. When they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. This is when we judge each other and we contend with God and the church for what we perceive as should be done to other people. Those people should not be given this chance, would not be taking communion. Those people should not be serving in the church. Those. And we are so much worry ourselves about who is doing what around us. We start to be upset with God and His representatives, usually the church. It is the same reason also, lack of love, that made Judas Iscariot, when he witnessed this woman coming and pouring the precious fragrant oil on the Lord's head before his crucifixion, he was so indignant, he was so upset. We hear that, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Never cared about the poor. He actually lacked love to the Lord Christ and lacked love to this even woman who came to give all what she has in a gesture of love towards the Master. Again, this sometimes happens. People sometimes come to the church and start looking around and say, why all of this money is spent on decorations and doing all of these icons? Why this is not given to the poor? They know that they don't care about the poor. They know it's not about loving the poor. It is about lacking love to everyone, to the church and to the people around them and to everything that's happening. Just going angry in life because we lack love to other people. Again, this is the reason that made Jonah to be upset. If he cared about the people of Nineveh, as he should be. He wouldn't feel upset when they listened and heeded the message. He should be actually celebrating with God, who was happy for his people to come back to him. Jonah was upset because of himself, his dignity. I said something and it was not fulfilled. And God told him at the end, when he gave him the plant and he was happy with it, and then a worm came and devoured the plant in one day, told him, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons living here, there, not knowing their right from their left? Sometimes we are upset that God did not punish some people. Why God is allowing those wicked people to hurt his children, burn churches here and there? Why God is not bringing fire from heaven and consuming all of them? And we start being upset with God because of his mercy. This shouldn't be the case. We should not ever doubt God's goodness and his judgment. If we love others, we will be happy whenever we see God is showing goodness towards anyone. If people would expect God to kill Saul of Tarsus, we would definitely lose the best preacher that ever lived, St. Paul. The third reason is foolishness issues. People are getting upset against God sometimes simply because they are blaming God for their choices. I make a decision and then I am upset at God because of the consequences of my choice. Look here what the Bible says about this. The foolishness of man twists his way and his heart frets against the Lord. It is me. It is my decision, my choice. Why I am upset at him? Blaming God for our choices and their consequences is the ultimate foolishness. God is allowing us to bear the consequences of what we choose in order for us to learn, to be responsible. A student should be studying, playing the whole year and coming to the end and asking God, can you bless me and with the results, and it doesn't happen. I have no right here to be upset with God. I'm just bearing the consequence of my being irresponsible. We all make decisions to marry, and then we get upset at God and the church because I married this person. No one forced you. No one took your hands behind your back and bring you to the church, say, marry this woman or marry this man. If we make a decision like this, it is our decision, and then we bear the consequences, good or bad, something that we should not blame God for. Look here at what Cain did. He offered a lousy sacrifice, not caring, with indifference, and with a heart that has no repentance in it. And then, when God did not accept his sacrifice, he was upset. And God asked him, why are you angry? What is the issue here? Why are you upset? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? It is about what you did. It changed your behavior and things will be different. Unfortunately, many people are like Cain, going in life being upset, wrathful, just because of something they did, they chose, they brought upon their own heads, and then they are blaming God for not correcting or not doing what they think he should be doing. The fourth and last reason why people are getting angry or get angry at God is lack of understanding. God is the author of wisdom and justice. So he is the one who taught us what is to be just, what is to be right. Sometimes we come and contend with the giver as if like we know better than the master. And this is again something that makes us to stumble because we are lacking our understanding. It's not because God did something wrong. Stumbling at the Lord's wisdom provokes some who lack understanding and humility to anger. If we don't understand what he's doing, it doesn't mean that he's doing something wrong. It means just that I don't understand. Imagine one of us, maybe has his dad, he has a heart problem, and he's bringing him to Dr. Magdi Yaoub to be treated, the most famous cardio surgeon in the whole world. And then Dr. Magdi says, I'm going to do this and this. And this person thinks that it is not right and keep arguing with Dr. Yaoub about, no, this shouldn't happen. You are endangering my father's life like this. What kind of debate and discussion is this? Being upset at the person who knows the most what actually this would lead us to. This is the Pharisees' position when they became angry at the Master when he started healing in the Sabbath, thinking that they know more than him, the lawgiver. They were upset because they thought that he doesn't know what is right and they have to teach him something. St. Paul reminds all of us when we stumble at the Lord's judgment that we should reconsider our position when we get upset, saying, "Oh, the depth of the riches of both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." This should be the realization we should bring ourselves to whenever we stumble with God's judgment and not understanding what he's doing. So the second point is, what should I do if I am angry with God? If I have any of these issues, what should be done? Number one, not understanding God's judgment is a call for prayer, for asking him to reveal his will, to submit ourselves in faith, not to contend with the Lord. It is written in the scripture, "Woe to him who contend with his creator." وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ يُخَاصِمْ خَالِقُهُ. We should always keep this in mind. When I stumble, when I'm upset, this is a time for me to go to my prayer room and ask with humility for God to reveal his will, his judgment, in order for me to understand. Even if I don't understand, I should find peace. The second thing is, I should always adjust my expectations. Are my expectations realistic? Are they biblical? For example, expecting God to make us wealthy and healthy because we are following him, is this biblical? Did ever Christ say that if you go after me, you will have abundance of everything, life will be easy with you? He never said that. When we get we have this kind of expectations, this is our expectation. We made this to ourselves. Search the scriptures, see what did he promise before you ask that God, you did not do what you are supposed to do. The third thing is that we should wait. Sometimes he is in action, he's working something, and we rush him, get the results, get us to the end, and we look at the middle of the picture and say that this doesn't make sense. Just wait. He is working. When things will be completed, then we will glorify him. Look at the Bible. Where in the Bible we find the story that it started and ended and it didn't make sense? Or God did not intervene in a way that's according to his goodwill? Never. This should teach us that God does not miss. He does not forget. He is not like us, can make a mistake or he can misjudge a situation. Just wait until the story is over and then we'll see. The fourth thing is that, again, going into the issue of trust. If you are riding behind him and he is the driver of your vehicle, you should trust that he knows the way. He is the way himself. This issue of trust, again, should go and bring us back into this humility that we should have while dealing with him. I cannot sit beside God in a car and tell him, "Go right, go left. You are too fast, you are too slow." It doesn't work this way. If you submit your life to him, if you really want him to drive your car to the destination of eternity, you should be silent. You should at least be in a way trusting that he knows what he's doing. The fifth thing is, no matter what, no matter the situation, how hard it is, we have no justification to lose reverence and respect. Saying that because I love God, then I'm upset with him and I say something that's improper, there's something inappropriate to say, something that's not right. We should not be doing that. We are not justified in any way, by any reason, when we lose reverence. Have always to understand that we are dealing with the Almighty. We have always to be respectable and approach him with reverence. The sixth thing is remembering that we are the creation. He is the creator. It's not the other way around. Another thing, that we are the servants and he is the master. Who should be upset at the other person? I would be upset at him if he has to do something to me. Or if I am the master and I commanded, and then he did not follow what I said. But it is the other way around. He is the master. His will is what we should be looking up to. We try to fulfill. He is the one who should tell us what should be done, how we should be thinking, what should be doing. We are created in order for us to serve and glorify Him, not the other way around. Unfortunately, when we keep all the time praying only for our will to be done, then we feel like we're upset. I have been telling Him this and this and this, and He was not doing that. Really, can we say this statement that we have been telling Him and He is not listening? Who should tell and who should listen? We should not trade positions here. We should not think that we should be the one who tell and He should be the one that serves. Simply, He is the master and we are the servants. Jonah was upset with God. He was not justified in this. It was not right for him to be upset or angry in any way. Neither him nor anyone who feels like I have the right to be upset at God, or I think that God was not wise enough or was not fair enough with me. In order for us to be able to offer repentance and receive the season of the great fast with a clear conscience and a pure heart by which we can glorify God, we have to clear this kind of feelings from our hearts. We are not to be in a way justified or justifying ourselves when we think that God missed something. May the Lord to grant us peace with Him at all times, knowing that He is the most knowing, He is the most merciful, most loving of all. May always the glory be to Him forever and ever. Amen.